Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning once again. Happy Saturday to you. Well underway is the summer, although you wouldn't know it right now, but that's California. Today's show, precipitation and disease. I covered this years ago. Got to do the show again. Precipitation and disease. Why this is always your problem. Now, why do I say this? Because really, if we were going to prevent disease every 6 months during your physical exam, wherever you get your physical exam, your doctors would be examining whether or not and to what extent you are precipitating crystals into the space between the cells. Uh-oh. Sounds like headache time, doesn't it? Very simple stuff, guys. Heart disease, neurodegenerative disease, senility, cancer, low back pain, you name it. Whatever your chronic symptom is, whatever your health concern is all about, it begins long before you feel the symptom. Of course, that's the central thrust of preventative medicine, right? Some process is beginning long before you get sick. And you can actually, if you really tune in today, start to get a sense of where you're at in that pendulum. Meaning, the space between the cells is supposed to be, well, I want you to think of it as clear spring water. Just think of it like that. It isn't really like that, but think of it like clear spring water. From the freshest, finest stream that God ever made. And I want you to think of, at some point, that clear, fresh, perfect spring begins to make little crystals in it. Crystals. Cloudy crystals. The clear spring begins to muck up with debris so that it no longer looks like a clear stream. You can't see through it anymore. Out of the clear spring comes solid mass. In chemistry, that's called precipitation. Now, in human terms, the spaces in between your organs, those organs, all of which sooner or later you get real concerned about because someone tells you you have an ensuing disease there. Those spaces in between the cells start precipitating crystals. And those crystals start sticking to the cells. And those crystals start to thicken what was once a clear spring. And that thickening is the beginning of a response by your cell into that clear spring signaling change. In other words, the cells of your brain, the cells of your kidney, the cells that line your arteries, the cells of your joints, in response to this precipitation of crystals in the water between your cells, in response to that precipitation, your cells begin to change. So there's a reciprocity, there's relationship. What you call health are healthy relationships. What you call symptomology, symptom, are less than healthy relationships. And what you call disease are poor relationships sustained over time that have forced a radical change in your cell structure. What you call irreversible disease are radical changes in cell structure that are so extreme that sometimes they're irreversible or very, very difficult to reverse. There it is. Can you wrap yourself around that? If you can wrap yourself around that, then you can stay focused on that instead of staying focused on your pain, staying focused on your symptom. If you can wrap yourself around this concept, then you know how to light the way, keep the torch lit in that long, arduous pathway back to health. Notice how I say long and arduous. Notice how I say journey. Notice how I don't say, call my office, get this nutritional supplement, and watch the miracle occur. Notice how I don't say that. Notice how I do say that nutrition and herbs and all these nice supplements people spend good money on can help. But they supplement, right? They're called supplements. They supplement the foundation. The foundation is what I give you today. The foundation is what this show is about. The foundation is what I urge you, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I urge you to tune in. I urge you to get to the website, straighttalk.cc. I urge you to do lots of things that are different than what generally people are being urged to do. Generally, we give you a little education so you understand why you should buy the supplement. That is not what it's about. Because it doesn't serve you on the dark and stormy night when you spent all that money and your bones still ache and your blood is still wrong and your symptoms are still there and it's 2, 3, 5 years, $100,000 later. So understand that some people precipitate. And all the things we call health are about stopping precipitation. And all the things we call disease are about not stopping precipitation. Perhaps accelerating precipitation. Where you are on the precipitory arc is everything. It's not a little thing, it's a big thing. And yet, you don't hear anything about this, do you? That's the state of health today, amidst all the claims and concerns and the rest of it. That you understand that your disease, your chronic symptom, your rapid aging, whatever your health concern might be, is definitely a function of what and how fast you precipitate crystals, calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, uric acid, calcium hydroxyapatite, just a few. That precipitate is combined with mucus. Why? Why does mucus play a role in precipitation? Because the body buffers the agony of precipitation. The adversity, the challenge of precipitation is buffered by mucus. Why do we grow fungus? Because the immune system sees this ensuing mess, this cloudy stinko in between and in what was once that clear, blue, crystalline, drinkable spring. The immune system, the patrol, the border guards, the police force, see the problem, blow whistles, and they start trying to eat the precipitate. But they become overwhelmed. They die in the process. The immune system cells, the macrophages, etc., are sacrificed eating the crystalline precipitate. And so the fungus grows, the candida grows, and other types of fungus grow as backup auxiliary systems. And then you go swooning on into your local place and they tell you, you have fungus or you have a parasite. And that's the cause of your problems. And we have to kill these parasites and kill these funguses with all sorts of detoxifications and antifungals. This is short-lived, myopic, doesn't really work. And I should have a dollar for everyone I've ever seen in my life that's rotting in fungus and parasite after they've been told time and time and time again that we've just discovered a new one. And if they're in biofilms, meaning cocoons that encapsulate them so they can continue to do their job on top of being born out of the failure of the immune system because it's overwhelmed, not because anything's wrong with it, on top of the fact that you're precipitating, but now the fungus that you're trying to kill are in biofilms, so the fungus and the parasites never go away. You see what happens. It's kind of like that quote, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first deceive." Of course, all this is done innocently. It really is done innocently. But what a mess. The blind lead the blind is what it comes down to. But if you go to your MD, it's worse. Yeah. You're on your way in an ambulance, or you're in agony before the medical community gets it. Not everyone, but most. We have a quandrum in American society. So I'm asking you, you're the public, I'm asking you to start putting your time in. I don't care if you're busy. This is too important. Your health is more important than your job, because when it fails, you can't do your job. So, precipitation. Hopefully you're on the website. If you're not, get to it when you can, because I put the pictures on. Picture number one, precipitation reactions. An insoluble solid that forms during an aqueous reaction is called a precipitate. A reaction which forms a precipitate is called a precipitation reaction. Often we precipitate calcium. Calcium products, calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, calcium hydroxyapatite, are known precipitants. One of the things that controls the precipitation is when the intercellular space, the space between the cells, drops its pH too low. That pH should be buffered around 7 or so. I mean the pH between the cells. Now, a lot of you are perking up going, "Oh yeah, the pH, that's what I measure with the acid alkaline stuff. I put the litmus paper on the urine and it tells me the pH, and that tells me what the pH of the water between the cells in." I don't know about that one, guys. I really don't. I hope it's true. But I don't know. And the reason I don't know is I don't see any good work that's been done on that. I see a lot of nutritionists that learned it from other nutritionists all running around acting like it's a law because somebody told somebody. But when you really go to the hard articles, the hard science, I don't know. I do know, they know, hard science knows that the pH of the water, so think of that stream I refer to as the pH. If it starts becoming too acidic, the calcium will precipitate out of solution, which introduces another concept, solubility. Simple for the calcium that's just running around ionized, meaning not stuck to some big molecule like citrate or carbonate or whatever. That calcium stays soluble. It stays invisible. It stays in the water like it's just not there. And then at some point, as the concentration of everything in the water changes, which is the water between the cells, all of a sudden the calcium crystallizes out of solution and you form that bone spur. You form that plaque on the inside of the artery. You form that gunk we'll call it, in between your brain, so your electrical impulses can't transmit. You form that kidney stone. You form that gallstone. You form that plaque in the heart, or that plaque in the brain, or that plaque in the carotid, or that plaque in the artery to the penis. And that's the end of your erections, because you've been precipitating calcific plaque into the arteries to the penis. This is so fundamental that you can apply your precipitory rate to anything having to do with any aspect of health. We know it's pH controlled. Now, I put two articles on the website. They're good articles. The effect of hydrogen ion concentration upon the determination of calcium. That's kind of telling you the more acidic or hydrogen ion filled your intercellular fluid gets, the more likely you're going to precipitate calcium, as I just said. And of course, then there's another article. Extracellular, meaning space between the cell, acid-base balance and ion transport. And that's going to tell you the same thing. The problem is it's studied from the standpoint of disease, meaning the space between the cells starts to become more acidic or more alkaline outside the proper range. That space in between the cell is buffered, meaning the amount of hydrogen and hydroxy ions to keep the acid-alkaline balance normal so you can have optimal physiology and health and freedom from symptom and freedom from disease and reverse disease. The body's always trying to buffer that, meaning make it normal. And scientists know when people have disease, they can't buffer it. If you're in renal failure, if you're diabetic, if you have a cancer, you can't buffer that space between the cells. And then they go on to write these articles on how that causes all sorts of problems. That's typical scientific inquiry. Typical scientific inquiry, and thus the articles, is all about you've got the disease, now how does that change the space between the cells? That's a relative waste of time. Well, not really, but it's a waste of time. Why is it a waste of time? You want to know what conditions led to the disease. You want to know what and if and how and who and why changes in that intercellular space in terms of the change in the pH led to the disease. You see, that is what is so backwards. That is what is so Neolithic. We study disease. We should study health. You see the difference? We study disease. Let's start with the disease and see what's wrong. How about we study health and see how it progresses to disease? Now, there's a concept that people don't study. Not the scientists. The nutritionists, the naturopaths, the chiropractors, the acupuncturists. Sometimes the scientists looking to make a quick buck. Sometimes the medical doctors looking to make a quick buck. I'm sorry. I think the science holistically, the science behind natural science generally stinks. In the 1870s, 1880s, somewhere around then, the Rockefeller family paid a guy named Abraham Flexner. Actually, it was later. Somewhere later than it was later than that. The Rockefellers paid a guy named Abraham Flexner, I think it was as late as the 1920s and 30s, to go to the medical schools and take out all the science behind natural medicine. Look him up. He's that Abraham Flexner. Flexner. Great book, Rockefeller Medicine. I've talked about it in some of the prior shows. And all the science went out. Thanks to Flexner, paid by the Rockefellers, who were investing in pharmaceuticals. This is why the science is so poor. But the science is there. It's there. Once those cells, the cells become too damaged because they're attacked so repeatedly by all the toxins in the intercellular space, once those cells become damaged, they become sticky. The membranes become oxidatively damaged, they become sticky. So you got to understand sort of the model for disease here. Through changes in the water between the cells, like pH changes, you begin to make crystals. Those crystals build up in concentration. They look for a place to stick to, but they don't have one until the cells, your kidney cells, your liver cells, your brain cells, your heart cells, the epithelial cells of your arteries, the cells in the synovium of the joint, the cells on the cartilage of the joint. Cells are everywhere. Spaces are everywhere. When the space between the cells off pH changes and other things I'll get to in the next half of the show later today, posted to the website. You guys know the dance. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, in about an hour, hour and a half. I'll really get into this topic. This is the appetizer. I serve you the appetizer. You come later for the main course. Once too much precipitate builds and needs a place to hang its sticky hat, it finds it in the cells if the cells have been oxidatively damaged, meaning free radical damage, oxygen-driven damage to the cells of your choice. Pick the organ, and then the cluster of precipitates, of crystals, stick to the cells. The cells don't like it. The cells are living. The cells are dynamic. The cells are talking to each other. And in response, the cell becomes dysplastic. It changes its shape and loses function. It may lose the function to the point of senescence. It may become so damaged that it starts signaling other cells. Chemical signals start to go from cell to cell to cell to cell. Finally, the cells engage in a mass suicide, which all that precipitate is ready to accommodate. And the mucus that goes with the precipitate. And the fungus that goes with the mucus that goes with the precipitate. Now we have a maelstrom. We have a bonfire. We have the entire town of San Francisco up in smoke. And that's what you call bad disease. It could have been stopped. Could have been stopped long, long ago. Early on in the game, it could have been halted. Had anyone thought about precipitation in its early stages? This is why the pH thing is important. Not that you can measure it in your urine. This is why autophagy, the cell cannibalizing itself to get rid of. This is why autophagy through water fasting. This is why bringing insulin down. This is why doing all the cleanses. And most of all, this is why you have to activate through the physical experience of prana, of chi. You have to activate through the physical experience of your electrical force reaching newfound, reignited parts of your body that drive pumping mechanisms so that you can remove all this garbage. Otherwise, you become static, overwhelmingly static. Your organs all pump. Your kidney pumps, your heart pumps, your liver pumps, your brain pumps, your joints pump. Everything decompresses. Everything expands and contracts. Everything is elastic. So it's expansion and its contraction, meaning its pulse. People pulse. Health is a pulse. Little children pulse. Leopards, jaguars, colts. When they move, they pulse. Old, dying, decrepit things don't pulse. They don't dance. They don't vibrate. Their frequencies change. And as you lose your pulse, as you lose your life force into different parts of the body, you stop pumping out the garbage, and the garbage builds up, and the cells die. You see the dance? It's all a beautiful symphony. It's an orchestra. This is health. I give you the foundation of health. I wonder what you hear. What do you hear? Who are you? And what do you hear when I say these things to you? I really wonder. I can barely tell. A couple of announcements. One, get to the website. If you're in the car driving, get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. Straighttalk.cc. What is this show? 370 shows of concept. Take the concept in. You'll figure out what to do. Take the concept in. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call for two reasons. Number one, if you're lost in the labyrinth, make the call now. Come see me. Get set on the straight path. Whatever your health concern is, your body can be prompted to do much about your concern. Don't buy the wrong paradigm. Buy the right paradigm. And then, due to popular demand, we're in excess of 40 now for my July 22nd seminar. I've rented space. We can take up to 50. I have to cut it at 50. It wouldn't be intimate enough, but we can do it with 50. Call July 22nd, 12 to 6 p.m. Call, make the commitment, just for one. Come and listen to the concepts. Get turned on. We'll see you next week. Those of you who want part two of this show, get on the site in about an hour. Ta-ta. Okay, part two. Let's get into this for my scholars, people who want to take the time to really know what it's about. Wow, what this must be like if you're just doing a Google search and you land on this site. Most people are referred by true friends. But a lot of people just stumble onto the site. That's the way it is. Hail the internet! You can't do this kind of thing on radio. All right, this is the way you have to see it. You have to think about yourself differently than you do. You think about this idiotic thing that happens once a year at Kaiser Permanente or your local health doctor. This is not a good idea. These guys are good at studying disease. It's nothing to do with health. They're not the same. They're not the same science. This is a classic example. Precipitation is barely studied. The factors under which you will precipitate calcium oxalate, calcium hydroxyapatite, calcium phosphate, uric acid, and this whole thing I described, mucus deposition, trapping all sorts of chemicals that would otherwise just move through the fluid and out the door they'd go, but no. This is why Pissinger, again, picture 8, you're on the website. Look at picture 8, the extracellular matrix and ground regulation. regulation of the space. Why does Pissinger call it the basis for a holistic biological medicine? That's why. But again, of course, he's leaving out structure. He's leaving out psyche. He's leaving out a lot of things. But this is a good job nonetheless. This is revolutionary in and of itself. Listen, I'll tell you right now, we don't have a test better than a palpatory test, meaning feel the tissue. Who, you? You're going to feel your own tissue? No, you're not. You're not trained enough. This is why we have doctors. But you should be put on the path. And you should perhaps train yourself. Train yourself. This is why I'm going to take another shot at the school. But you know, this is California. This is 2018. People touching other people. I mean, that's an event. But really, when you talk about changes in between the space, in between the cells, you can begin to get a sense of what's going on there, a good sense, by touching the musculoskeletal system. See, but this changes. It completely augments radically, a radical change in the way you see and interpret the musculoskeletal system. The musculoskeletal symptom is a window into the intercellular space of different body parts. And yes, you can go organ to organ. You can. That's really the fundamental of Eastern medicine. But they talk about it through pulse, perhaps tongue. Not good enough. Really, what you're doing with people to guarantee you massive improvement in the intercellular space is you're feeling their body become softer and softer and softer. You're feeling the joints pull apart. They're feeling their joints pull apart. And that's why you're the therapist or you're the doctor. Or you're you trying to navigate you into a better state of health and out of a symptomatic or a disease process. You take your average person with a disease or chronic symptomology, they're stuck. You can feel they're stuck. They're dead. Their bodies don't have life. They're not generating. This isn't esoteric, poetic nonsense. This is empirical science. This can be reproduced. It can be predicted. It can be decelerated. It can be accelerated. What? The rate at which your body softens. It is directly proportional to your health. If it's an issue in the joints, you can feel the joints soften to decompress. If it's an issue in the brain, there are all sorts of things in response to physical manipulation done by someone or done to yourself that can tell you that your brain is washing itself with an ever greater efficiency. Oh, yes. What do you want? An 8 to 12 hour show on that? No, you have to train your body to determine this. Train my body. I pump iron at Joe's garage. Perhaps that's what you've understood as what you need to do to get healthy. I'm telling you to think again. Motion. You know, Jack LaLanne motion, Arnold Schwarzenegger motion, Mike Tyson motion was once transferred by the priests at the sacred sites to ask you to learn the intricacies of motion, physical motion, so that you could give yourself everlasting life. That's what motion was. What do you think Tai Chi is? Qigong, Kung Fu. These are health systems that you learn. You can become so learned that you can be called priest, swami, sensei. Well, yeah. Oh, no, not me. I'm going to go pump some iron. Yeah. You pump iron while those guys get so flexible they can fling boulders further than our shot putters. Effortlessly. Things have been figured out in a far more sophisticated manner than Jack LaLanne's health spa. Or Equinox, should I say. The West is young. The West is young. But it has birthed science, and science is a critical language. I personally am in love with that science. Take a look at this one. Extracellular acid-base balance and ion transport between body fluid compartments. Before you go there, look at picture number 7. Picture number 7. I want everybody to take a breath and get down on picture 7 so you can understand what I'm talking about when I say compartments. Picture 7, it's a cartoon kind of, right? Intracellular. When you say your organ system, your organs are a bunch of cells. Those cells have a membrane. Inside the membrane is intracellular. That should be pretty easy, okay? Between the cells is called extracellular or interstitial. It used to be called intercellular, I-N-T-E-R. But that was obviously not a good idea, so they stopped calling it intercellular, I-N-T-E-R, and replaced it with something smarter, extracellular, outside the cell. Interstitial, right, used to be intercellular, interstitial. Space between the cells, extracellular or interstitial. Then they've got this thing in intravascular. That simply means the space inside blood vessels. Blood vessels means arteries, veins. And when the arteries and veins get really, really small, they're called capillaries or arterioles or venules. But inside that is called intravascular. And they all have cells in the intravascular place. And the space between those cells, right, is called extracellular. Blood plasma, for those of you who get this. Blood plasma is the liquid part of blood versus the solid part of blood. The solid part of blood are all your red blood cells and white blood cells and sediments and the rest of it. But there's water between them. That's blood plasma, which is extracellular. So that's why that extracellular sends an arrow into the intravascular. Don't stress that, gang. It's actually stupid. But I loved the picture. So these are these fluid compartments. So there are pHs involved. Inside the cell, there's got to be a certain balance of acid and base called pH. In between the cells, there has to be a certain pH. What I was saying earlier is in the intercellular space of each organ, if it gets too acidic, you're going to precipitate all that calcium stuff. All right, that's a good setup for where we're about to go. Extracellular acid-base balance and ion transport between body fluid compartments. That's easy for you guys. Extracellular means in between the cells. Your acids versus your bases, your pHs, basically. And ion transport, ion, calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium. Those are the real ions that control pH. Between body fluid compartments. Now we're compartmentalizing like I just did for you. All right, good. Let's get this article up. Julian L. Seifter. And I'm not even going to pronounce this one, but Chang. I wish I could. You know, I tried to learn Chinese back in acupuncture school years ago, and I would have done it. I really would have done it. Years ago in acupuncture school, I was going to add that to the chiropractic degree, buy a brownstone, open a yoga studio, and then treat above the yoga studio and then live above the office. Brownstone, three levels. Great idea. I got so interested in science and disease process, the mess that it was, that I didn't get around to that. Now, I'm not interested in that. But the Chinese are doing amazing stuff, especially in Taiwan. Taiwan pays big money to smart scientists. Taiwan will pay big money to anybody with brains. America puts you in jail for having brains. Taiwan makes you a superstar. That's why a lot of these publications don't come out of America. They come out of the overseas places. They come out of Europe because in Europe no one makes any money. So they get into the act of service. So great science comes out, holistic science comes out of Europe, but a ton of it comes out of Asia. So we've got some good schools. This is out of Boston. This is hard science, this article. It's also about disease. You see, if you strum down to page 1, page 2, in the upper right-hand corner, I put the page numbers. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. If you go to page 6, they talk about acid-base disorders of gastrointestinal origin. They talk about chronic pancreatitis. And they go in and they show associated findings. Hyperchloremic acidosis. Hypokalemia, which is low potassium. The volume in the extracellular fluid has depleted. And there's a loss of bicarbonate, thus it's acidic. And there's a loss of potassium. That's in pancreatitis. So you see what my point is? Here's an article. It's a good article. But what do they do? They're going in and studying disease. What they're supposed to study is what were the changes that produced the pancreatitis. That would be relevant, but they're not doing that. And this is how we waste our scientists. If you go to the NIH with a proposal to basically study the buildup to pancreatitis, you're basically studying the buildup to any disease. You can call it pancreatitis. You're not going to get any money. They want you to start with the disease and just make these associated findings. Why? Because then some rocket scientist who would eat their young for a dollar will start looking for a pharmaceutical cure in an attempt to tweak one of these findings. So the reason you study disease after the disease occurs is so you can study the drug to cure the disease. That's where the research money goes. And then when somebody comes along and says, let's prevent the disease, and looks for the science before the disease, or wants to research the science before the disease, then they're told, why would we give you money for that? You'll just need to have a lot of money on your own, or you can take a year or two off, struggle and scrape and scrounge. Take your $250 to $500 to $1 million a year income, and just in your own free time, don't work. And you write the article based on your own research, and that's the best you can do. This is why things are a mess. So you have to extrapolate, which means you have to understand enough science to be able to extrapolate. I don't need to see 50 articles telling me that when the pH of the intercellular space, that fluid becomes too acidic and beats the buffer systems. There are buffer systems. The minute the space between the cells starts to become acidic, the cell will throw off all of its ions like potassium. It'll pump potassium into the extracellular fluid to buffer that pH. But then the cell may not have enough potassium. The hookups aren't even there. But we know what happens. That's why Gerson was always talking about potassium. Loss of intracellular potassium expensed and spent in the extracellular space, along with your bone dissolving calcium into that space, is a sad price to pay for the fact that the pHs in the ECM have become too acidic. That's a bad price. So lay people listening and wanting to understand, it's simple. That clear crystalline water that went too acidic and is precipitating stuff you don't want because it's going to stick to your cells, mess you up, plaque your brain, plaque the arteries to your penis, plaque the arteries to the kidney, destroy your joints, create an immune system reaction that's formidable. I mean, things all work together. If you listen to this show, it's because you know things work together. If you're just surfing the web and you fell on this and you're going, I was trying to look up back pain. What does this have to do with back pain? I'm asking you to wake up to the fact that you're thinking about your problem wrong. It's not about, I'm going to look up on the web something about back pain or cancer or my problem, heart disease, or my problem, impotence. No, you're going to hope to run into enough people that are going to lay down for you the fundamentals of what defines health. And then accordingly ask you to do things to feed the fundamentals of health. And you better know why you're doing what you're doing or you're not going to do it. See, this is where you guys that are, I don't need to know this. I just want to know what to do. You rich people out there, people with money. You know, I really wonder about you people with money. You really think you just buy everything, right? Sure you do. You do. Underneath it all, you really think you buy everything. You buy knowledge, you buy friends, you buy this, you buy that. Because you come in here, and what you do is you walk in with this notion of, hey, I'm just going to buy your knowledge. I ask you to take joy in the process through which what was put there by God will mobilize a healing. That's what I'm asking you to buy. But you see, generally, and again, wealthy people do this. I don't want to go there. I simply want to go to what I want to buy, which is tell me what to do. And you know what? I wouldn't even say this if it worked. But anytime somebody's got the attitude of, I don't want to know this. I just want to be told what to do, and I want to buy what I need to do. then I'll give my secretary all the gunk and she can just feed it to my mouth while I'm busy making more money. It never works. Never seen one person heal that way. And you will not heal either that way. There's something we resist in a healing that has to do with the fact that we are going to be humbled in the process. We're going to be knocked off our throne. Yeah. You're going to get scared in a healing. You're going to get scared because you're going to be pushed to that place within yourself you forgot about a long time ago because it hurt too much. That's the way it is. I wish there was an easier way, but there isn't. And I only say that tongue in cheek because at this point I understand why it's got to be this way. It's like Jim Morrison said, no one here gets out alive. That's a healing. So there we are on page 6, table 1, acid-based disorders of gastrointestinal origin. What you've got is basically what it looks like after you've got the disease. So this ECM, this space between the cells, potassium that your foods supply ample amounts of potassium. Oh, you got to watch out. Too much potassium could be no good. Too much potassium, oh, you've got heart disease, renal failure. If we bring your levels of potassium up too high, you could have an arrhythmia and therefore a heart attack, or you could put yourself in renal failure. You know, really, when you're on your way out and you're dying, and the conclusion based on popular opinion is don't do anything, eat a reasonable diet. You know, this kind of idiocy, it's just to anesthetize you to your grave. You're already dead. You're just going to go out a little more dead. Where's the moxie? At least people should be offered the opportunity to dig their heels in and say, damn it, I don't need to die of renal failure. I don't want an organ transplant. I don't need to die of cancer. At least they should be offered the opportunity. And if I fall down, I'll get up, pick myself up, and become stronger than I was before I fell down. People should be at least offered that. Not this fear-based mongering, these mongrels, these mutts that just want to keep you in a wheelchair. God forbid you should push yourself towards renal failure by taking too much potassium. Personally, I've never seen it. Theoretically, it's possible. And so on and so forth. But this thing, Gerson based his stuff in potassium. Anybody's always said, get the potassium in. Potassium for a slow oxidizer drives the pH. Calcium for a fast oxidizer drives the pH. Eck introduced that, I think, before anybody. An ectomorph, a vata pitta, needs the calcium to get the pH between the cells to the right place. They'll run out of calcium fast. They burn it faster. And your endomorphs, pear-shaped bodies, longer asses, men, women with the longer sort of pear body, you're going to sedate yourself. You're going to bring yourself to poor metabolism on too much calcium. This is, I always saw this with this coral calcium stuff. You know, it got marketed out as the cure-all. Bob Barefoot, Carl Reich, The Calcium Factor, famous book from years ago. and calcium, 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 this and that, and the other thing. And some people, they don't do well with it. They're different. Eck had it. You had your fast oxidizers, your mixed oxidizers, and your slow oxidizers, but that's just a subset of Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Vata are your fast oxidizers, Pitta are your mixed, and Kapha are your slow. A Kapha, a slow oxidizer bringing in way too much calcium, will make themselves worse. And a Vata bringing in too much potassium will make themselves insane. And if the villi are intelligent, if the intestinal villi have intelligence, if you feed it the right thing, the villi suck it up and people go, ah, I had a little orgasm in my belly when I had that Carl Legend. And those slower oxidizers get all fired up with a little potassium. The calcium magnesium gives them diarrhea. The potassium makes them feel warm and fuzzy inside, and vice versa to the Vata. So these things have been understood, although they haven't been explained with the harder science, which is what I like to do. I don't know why I like to do that. I just do, and you got to go based on who you are. You don't really have a choice. Your job is to find out who you are and what blows your dress up. And if you don't choose that process wisely, it's bad. Right? Isn't that what we want for our kids? Right? We want to raise them so they can find out what they came here to do. And there's equanimity in that. It's beautiful. Everybody's the same as long as they find out what they came here to do. It doesn't matter then. If you're supposed to make pizza or sweep a floor or fix cars or win the Nobel Prize for biochemistry, you're where you're supposed to be, and it's a party. The problem is, and we all know that, right, through our children, is when they can't find out what they came here to do, when they've been denied the process. Okay. Let's go and get down to generation. So go to page number 8. Page 8, right side, just below that table there. Generation of reciprocal changes of bicarbonate and non-chloride anions. So an anion is a mineral like chlorine with a negative charge. That negative means it's holding an extra electron in its ring, which is what chlorine likes to do to complete its octet. Remember that? Did anyone just throw up? Cation is like magnesium plus 2. Any mineral with a plus, and the plus means it's short electrons. If you're short a negative charge, you're a plus. If you've got an extra one, because your electronegativities are high, like all the chlorine, fluorine, bromine, etc., iodine, well, then you tend to exist with an extra electron, and you're a minus. And you're called an anion as opposed to a cation within the ECF, extracellular space or fluid compartment. As shown in figure 4, the circulating plasma component of the ECF is capable of transporting or shuttling metabolic fuels or precursor substrates between tissues like brain, heart, liver, and skeletal muscle. That means your brain cells, your heart cells, your liver cells, your muscle cells. If we shrunk ourselves down into those spaces in between the cells, you'd see little boats. If you were hanging on a rock, there'd be little boats of ions going by. And everybody's got a job to do, and everybody's doing what they're doing for a damn good reason. And the chemists come in and say to maintain equilibrium, meaning everything is as it's supposed to be. Until shit hits the fan. And everything then is not how it's supposed to be. And then whistles get blown. Emergency systems come in. Reserve systems come in. The endocrine system's called in. The autonomics better know what they're doing or none of this works. And if you're out of balance in there, watching those boats of ions all get shuttled around to maintain homeostasis, well, if things get too screwed up, the nerves in the area, little antennas, start popping their heads up going, trouble, trouble, trouble. And that gets transmitted through nociceptive receptors as pain. You feel something's wrong. All right. In starvation, the catabolic state breaks down fat in adipose tissue, allowing free fatty acids to be carried to the liver where mitochondrial ketoacidosis is. The beta-hydroxybutyrate and acetoacetate exit the hepatocytes by carriers known as H-plus-linked monocarboxylate transporters, MCTs, and are cleared from the circulation by similar transporters in the brain and cardiac muscle cells as an alternative source of energy when glucose is scarce. We want glucose to be scarce. You want to be in a glucose-scarce state to force the conversion of your essential fatty acids to hydroxybutyrate to be transported to the cells to make ATP. Because in that state, you ain't using any insulin. Pretty soon, I'm going to do a show on water fasting. I personally am in love with it. I think it's by far one of the most, if not the most important thing you can do. One of the big ones. You know, all we had to do was check out Jesus. He decided to clean up his act in preparation for the agony and the glory. So he went out and did a 40-day water fast. Maybe it wasn't even 40-day and 40-night water fast. Maybe he didn't do anything. It was a hard fast. No water, no shower, no nothing. And then he brought up his demon. And his demon was, I don't need this. I could just get rich and powerful. I could be the ultimate stud. That was his demon. All this can be yours. Just declare me king, says Satan. Yeah, I know. Satan came down in the cartoon and, you know, they shook, you know. What do you think's going on there? A man is purging himself in the name of having the sustenance to endure what is about to go down. Right? That's it. Catabolism. Break it down and get rid of what is non-essential. Get closer to God. Funny how it should find its little way into an article about the extracellular matrix. This MCT code transport cannot be distinguished from anion exchange of the organic anion with OH. Okay. Which in the ECF would lower bicarbonate. Okay. Some keto acids will be filtered and lost in the urine. Okay. But if hepatic production remains low, an increase in plasma and ECF concentrations may be minimal. All right, this is all here simply to tell you that there's a lot of crisscross in the extracellular matrix in the name of making sure that your pHs, as conferred by the ion concentrations, are all within what we call the parameters of health. And involved. There's a lot of considerations. If you go down to the next page, page 10, another transfer from tissue to tissue via the plasma component of the ECF involves lactate in the Cori cycle. Yeah, the Cori cycle. The Cori cycle. Your cells make lactic acid. That lactic acid gets transported through the ECM, through the blood to the liver, and the liver converts the lactate to the glucose. You recycle lactate to keep blood sugar. Cori cycle's most active as we sleep. It's why your blood sugars rise from 3 to 6 a.m. It's why diabetics, who are making tons of lactic acid, tend to have more active Cori cycles, and to much surprise to them, will cut out carbs and still have relatively high blood sugars because they're making a ton of lactic acid. They're going anaerobic. But the point is that the Cori cycle represents another one of these pieces of the transfer system that control the pH, and that's really what this is about, of that extracellular matrix. Why is all that important? Because it's the pH that's going to determine precipitation. If that extracellular matrix gets too acidic, you will take the calcium that's hanging out there and you will precipitate it out of solution. That's what my other article is about. If you go to my other article, The Effect of Hydrogen Ion Concentration Upon the Determination of Calcium, and you go through that, they talk about, in pretty good science, they talk about the equations that control precipitation. The effect of hydrogen ion concentration, the effect of other things which neutralize or sop up the hydrogen ions. When we say ingestion of acids, we say more hydrogen ion is dissociated into the space we're concerned with. And if those hydrogen ions are picked up by other chemicals like potassium citrate, if they're picked up, they can be sopped up and utilized. And that decreases the hydrogen ion concentration. So there's all sorts of chemical fun and games that are going to produce the buildup of hydrogen ions or the sopping up of hydrogen ions, the buildup of hydroxyl ions or the sopping up of hydroxyl ions. Now, the body's forgiving. It's forgiving in the sense that it's not going to be one thing that's going to give you your disease. It's going to be a compilation of a lot of reserve systems put there to buffer or to prevent you from deteriorating. And when the multitude of those buffer systems fail you, you're going to just get worse and worse and worse until you are a staving mess. This is why people that think there's one thing that's going to cure you, they're just living in a dream. Does it make sense that one move, one thing is going to cure you when it took the breakdown of multiple systems to give you the disease? You see? We just keep selling you. We keep selling you on the misconception of cure. Modern pharmaceutical science will soon have things like cancers and autoimmune disease and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's under their belt, and glory be to God and science. You see, this is a crock. If I told you that the next time your house is on fire, I'm going to show up with a big hunk of fire and hail it at your house, because that's going to put the fire out, you'd say, you're nuts. You'd say, Medici, you're nuts. You can't put out fire with fire. That's what you'd say. That's what Pharmaco is saying to you. It's saying that against the breakdown of multiple systems, they're going to come in and tweak one system. And on that basis, everything's going to work itself out. This is a very, very limited approach that has a very limited outcome. But you see, where the devil lives is it helps you a little, and that's better than nothing. That, some great marketing, Abraham Flexner, put it all together, and guess what? You have a medical paradigm, and that is why you fail. The problem with holistic medicine, right, chiropractors, acupuncturists, naturopaths, holistic medical doctors, people that did study formally that are into it, the problem with the multitude of the approach is that we've buckled under to the language that worked for the pharmaceutical companies and the allopaths. And so we give you this notion that you've got to do this thing, this one thing. We found your parasite. Your pHs are off. And we haven't given enough focus to demanding that you, the public, take enough time to understand the matrix of disease, of pathogenesis, of how these things happen. How did your relationship break down? If you're divorced, how did it break down? One thing? She did one thing? He did one thing? Generally not, right? Generally, it was a multitude of things that built up over the years, and all your reserve energy failed finally, and the whole thing collapsed into a heap. That's how it works. How do wars start? One thing. Remember that croc? World War One. World War One began when the Archduke Ferdinand at Sarajevo or wherever the heck it was assassinated. Everything was in balance. No one was thinking about war. Everybody was happy, hunky-dory. And there you are in the fourth grade. Some guy named the Archduke gets mugged, shot, whatever. And all of a sudden, millions and millions and millions of people die. That is what we were told. We call that history. Oh, that's just what you tell the fourth graders, you know, because we got to keep it simple. Yeah. Bull. That's how we start the fantasy. And that's what this health stuff unfortunately reduces to, a fantasy. So if you're going to talk about why your arteries plaque, one, the blood plasma, not the blood plasma in the blood, but we're talking about in between the epithelial cells that line the artery. That space is pHs drop enough to precipitate calcific plaque. And that is in conjunction with the deposition of sticky fat. Two, calcific plaque, sticky fat. Three, macrophages circulating in between that space, or white blood cells circulating in the blood, start to attack that fat. Macrophages produce cytokines. Cytokines signal more stuff. And of course, those cytokines signaling more immune system reaction ultimately elicit the deposition of fibrin. So the fibrin, the macrophages, soon to become foam cells, the calcific plaque, the fatty plaque, are all sequestered in this big load of snot we call fibrin, which of course causes a slowdown or coagulation or an increase in the viscosity of the blood. Now we've got thick blood, we've got fibrin, we've got fat, we've got oxidized fat, we've got foam cells, we've got calcium plaque, and this whole thing adds then to vasoconstriction as you're becoming increasingly sympathetic dominant because you're eating, because you're stressed. And then I bend down to pick up the pencil, and I accidentally stick myself in the finger, and I scream and curse, and 2 minutes later, I'm on the floor having a massive heart attack. I shouldn't have bent down to pick up that pencil. You see that? We're always doing that. We're taking the long-term buildup of multiple variables and reducing it to a single event. Don't do that. I rest my case. Perhaps this is where we should end it. Good articles, not great articles. Not enough stuff on this stuff. Don't forget that piece about the deposition of crystalline substances as it relates to where they're going to deposit. If it's going to deposit in your joint and the joint has not been isolated and decompressed, if they're going to deposit it in your brain but your brain's not pumping, if they're going to deposit in your ovaries or your prostate but your sacrum is locked, if they're going to deposit in your heart but your rib cage is static, right? If they're going to deposit in your teeth but your bite is not symmetrical, or your ear, and you clench all night, wherever these precipitates are going to deposit begs the issue of, are you isolating and decompressing and pumping those areas, without which you will enhance precipitation if the chemical substrates are present, meaning if your pHs are off, etc., etc. So take everything I've said for the last hour and add to it the fact that that body part that's going to take the beating isn't pumping anymore. And that's that whole other piece. Lots to think about. I've moved my one of my classes. I've moved to the hotel. Very nice place. I've got somewhere in the low 40s. We're going to take 50 and then cut it. If you're interested in that, 714-850-1007. It's $150. You'll be there 6 or 7 hours. Ostensibly, I'll run these classes every 5 to 6 weeks. So if you can set aside 25, 30 a week for a period of months so you can get these concepts down, think about it. By next week, that's it. I close it. So if you're going to do it, do it. And we'll leave it at that, okay? God bless you guys. You'll see me and hear me next week. Ciao.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.